moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para-S. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
And good evening, everybody. You are listening to the Odyssey Files on Para-X. I am your confused host, Michael O'Neill. With me, barely, as always, is my co-host, Mr. Dave Soering. How are you today?
Well, hanging in there. I'm thinking that you can't hear me through my headphones, that you can only hear me through my speakers on my laptop again, right?
No, actually, you're sounding just fine.
Oh, do I? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. What was throwing me off is when I started the show and all of the, thank you for listening to Para-X. You know, please don't be offended by anything the hosts say. They don't know what they're talking about. You know, those kind of disclaimers. Yep. They're playing through my speakers and they're not supposed to. And so I was like, well, this should be really good. It will have a nice reverb the entire show. And everybody can kind of listen to it twice.
Sweet.
Right. So, but no, I just turned them off and everything seems to be working just fine. So, yeah, whatever. Oh, you're going to love this. I'm just going to take the curse of Monday and roll with it, I guess. As long as I see the nice equalizer going up and down that says people are hearing me, I'm perfectly all right.
I was going to say, just how ungodly perfect is that for our Monday show to have the Monday curse happen to chime in again for us?
I know. It's amazing. And it I almost had tomorrow ruined derailed for me. But everything's gotten taken care of, so everything's back on track on that one. But so, Dave.
Yes.
Speaking of our topic for today.
Yes.
Let me give you a Jeopardy question.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to give you the answer.
Okay.
You tell me what the question is. Okay.
All right.
So that's paranormal for 200, Alex.
Okay. Paranormal for 200, Alex.
This word is an expression of a wish that misfortune, evil, doom, etc. befall a person, group, or more than that. I don't know what more than you could have a person or a group, but that's not part of the question. That's not part of the answer.
Okay. Beep! Alex, I'm going to say a curse.
Yes, that is correct. No, I'm sorry, you got it wrong. You said a curse. It's what is a curse?
What is a curse? Sorry, okay, God. Let's go back. Let's backtrack. Sorry, you're right, Jeopardy. Beep! What is a curse?
Dave.
Yep.
No, I was calling on you. Dave.
Yeah.
No, now you had... I'm the host of this...
I gotcha. So,
Dave...
Alex, what is a curse? What is a curse?
That is correct. It took us a long time to get there, Dave. It took a long time to get there.
Well, you know, I stopped watching Jeopardy about 18 years ago, so, I mean, it's... I was there. I was with you.
You know what's funny, not to get completely off topic, but to stay on Jeopardy, because, you had mentioned you hadn't watched in like 18 years. Every once in a while, I would show up on the TV at work, and I never got any questions ever when I was growing up. And then as I'm looking at this, I'm like, I know that answer. And I would actually get a few of them right. So I'm pretty happy that I'm smarter now than I was when I was 15.
Well, yeah, that's good. And I do the same thing now. Every once in a while, it's on the TV at work, and I'll see it, and I'll be like, hey, I'll bang that one out, and that one, and that one. And I'm like, oh, wait a second, I should be on Jeopardy. And then all of a sudden they talk about like some scientist from 1926.
Yeah.
And this and that. And he was from like some little tiny town in Switzerland. And I'm like, now I know why I'm not on Jeopardy.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It just, I don't know how they do it, to be honest with you, because there are some,
it's ridiculous.
There are some questions that they get right. And I'm like, I've never even heard of anything even remotely surrounding what they're talking about. Whatever. The world needs ditch diggers too, Dave.
That's right. And people who walk behind the elephants during the parade and the circus.
Right. So.
But we're neither one of those. So.
No. Not yet. Give it time.
Not yet. We're working our way up, baby.
So. Our topic, obviously, tonight is not Jeopardy. It is curses. Kind of where they come from. I got a bunch of some popular, some not so popular ones that I found on a website. And then I actually can relate to that because I have been told that I have had somebody attempt to put a curse on me twice. Both of them had to be removed. And I'll talk about those later because I kind of find them funny because I don't really know what to make of them. But so I have a actual personal relation to this. So
I've never been cursed. So
you have been attacked. You've had an attachment.
I have
been scratched.
Many attachments. Yes, I've been attacked. I've had many attachments. I've been scratched. I've had, you know, horrible things happen to me. But the one thing I cannot sign up for is I've never had a curse. And I'm okay with that.
But if it turns out that the curse that was put on me is accurate from what I was told it was supposed to do,
right,
you would have been affected by a curse.
But I wasn't. So that's a good thing because I would have realized I was being affected. So I think that I escaped that injury.
Well, speaking of injuries, we'll talk about that later. Because I know you and I have had that conversation.
Yes.
But in your opinion, Mr. Soiring.
Yes.
Where do you think curses actually come from? Or how did they even start?
Well, you know, I didn't bother spending a lot of time researching like the depth of curses because I've got more stuff on like what a curse is and some other topics. So I'm going to say from my knowledge, just from my general knowledge, curses come from either back in the days of medieval times and witchcraft, or probably what more people are thinking of is like the gypsy curses where, you know, a roaming family, you know, that have some that practice black magic come upon you and ask for a handout and you refuse. And so they curse your land or your family or your livestock. Something along those lines.
Do you think that it's just somebody changing the energy of an area or a person or something that leads them kind of down this path of bad luck? Or do you think they put some sort of entity there as kind of like the puppet master with the strings that force you in everything to do this?
Okay, so for that I do have more of a concrete answer.
Yes.
I believe that curses, if they are legitimate curses, and if you look at history, there have been what I would consider to be some legitimate curses, that those are brought on by demonic activity, which means that basically the person who placed that curse was willing to make a pact with the devil to cause harm for an extended period of time to an individual that they placed that curse on.
Okay. So you think that it's more of a, so that there is some sort of entity that is kind of like around whoever the curse was placed on or the land that it was placed on to make sure that bad stuff happens.
Yes, absolutely.
Well then, so what the, so if you're right, And I'm not, obviously I'm not saying that you are or you aren't, because I have no idea. Right. I don't know how these work.
Right, I'm just sharing my beliefs.
No, absolutely, and that's why I'm asking you. So, if it's the deal, if they made a deal with a demon or the devil or whoever, what would they have to give up in order to, like, keep up their end of the bargain? I mean, would somebody hate somebody else so much that they would give up their own soul in order to make sure the other person suffered?
Well, you know, in a simple idea of that, yes. But I think that if an individual truly was practicing very strong black magic, so say it was a witch or a very powerful gypsy clan or whatever, I would think that they could do blood sacrifices and or sacrifice the souls of others to feed the need of the demon that they conjured in order to satisfy it to not take them, but continue to do the deed that they set it out to do.
Oh, those dirty dogs.
Exactly. So
it's almost kind of like the, hey, I will make sure that I release you, but in return, you have to F them up.
Correct.
And you can go ahead and do so.
Right. Oh, right. And I'm gonna feed you 20 souls over the next 100 years, let's say. You know, if that was the agreement, like hypothetical agreement. So every couple of years they would have to get someone who was gullible enough to either follow them or believe in them, and then weaken that individual to the point where they would not resist having their soul taken over by a demonic entity.
Fun.
Well, not really for the person who's getting used as bait. I mean, but
no,
you know, fun for the family who's conjuring, I guess, right? Because they're seeing their handiwork being lived, you know, being displayed. And there's some major names that have been cursed that we'll talk about later. So,
yes, absolutely. In fact, I got a list of 13 here. Some are, I think, creepy, and everything that went on, and some I think are more modern. And I'm almost wondering, and this is my question to you, is do you think that people are able to unintentionally, like, curse themselves or future, not generations, but like people that go on the same line
outside of their bloodline?
Yes. Outside of their blood. And I'll make the very first, well, that's the first case, is actually the second, but an example of what I'm talking about. Now, a lot of people consider it a curse, for the players who are on the cover of the EA Sports Madden football game.
Okay.
They've had a lot of, and they actually list them here, where people have the great season. They're like the best in the league. They may not win the Super Bowl, but I mean, they're the best in the league. They get put on the cover because of their dynamic ability. And then the next year, they have a crappy year. They're injured the entire time, or they just kind of fade away in nothing. And right. they actually got a list here, which I find interesting. Michael Vick, had the 2004 season, was put on, or 2003 season was put on the 2004. Obviously, yep. We know what happened with him. The dog ring, and yep. Then he never recovered. Donovan McNabb went to the NFC Championship game 4 years in a row. It yep. was put on the cover in 2006. Came to Minnesota, and like all Minnesota Viking players, you know, was horrible and drifted away into obscurity.
I'm going to have to protest that comment, but yes.
Yeah, I know. That's fine. As a Packer fan, I enjoyed it immensely.
I'm sure you did.
But seriously, like it's the even Viking fan friends of mine, when we get together to watch a game and a quarterback, doesn't matter if it's for my team, another here, whatever, throws it into the ground, we call that a McNabb pass. Because it's just all he did. He just threw it into the ground. Sean Alexander, who that was 2007. He was huge. Like, I still remember watching the game. I think it was against the Vikings. It was unreal. I think they won the Super Bowl that year. The Seattle Seahawks.
Yep.
Never heard from him again. Nope. Vince Young. Troy Polamalu. Peyton Hillis. I mean, all of these people were dynamic for, like, all the way up until they were put on the cover. And they were gone.
No, I agree. And you know, that might even tie back into our conspiracy theory episode where, you know, is this really happening or is this just a huge coincidence of individuals who, when they get put on the Madden, you know, NFL football game, they're just at their prime and they're ready to drop down, or they were at their prime and they just had a breakout season. And so nobody really expected them to have another great season. And it so, just kind of ties in as a coincidence. I don't know, but I'm telling you, see, if I was a great young football player, I probably would just skip the odds of that happening, and I'd be like, you know what, John, I appreciate the offer. Maybe in about 5-10 years, but not tonight. Not this year.
Well, then I mean, let's look at. You said we were going to bring him up later, and I don't know if this was one of them, but the Kennedy curse.
Absolutely.
You yes. know, I got that right here. President Kennedy assassinated in 1963.
Yep.
Robert Kennedy assassinated in 1968.
Yep.
Senator Ted Kennedy survived a plane crash, but later drove off a bridge that killed a woman, thus right. ending his presidential dreams. Robert Kennedy's son died of a drug overdose. Another son died in a skiing accident. JFK yep. Jr. died in a plane crash along with his wife.
Yep.
And then what I didn't know, probably maybe it just wasn't considered newsworthy or whatever, Mary Kennedy, the wife of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., hung herself.
Yep. Now tell me that that's coincidence, right?
I couldn't. But, I mean, is it a curse? Did somebody do this to him? Or did they create that line of energy and luck themselves?
Well, here's an interesting tidbit I found on the Kennedys. So John F. Kennedy's great-grandfather, Thomas Fitzgerald, in 1842 discovered a chest full of gold coins in an Irish village. The coins, supposedly, according to the people in the village, were cursed, and the village from which he took them from, right after he took them, was destroyed. Fitzgerald fled with his treasure to Boston, where he used it to start his own business and soon became extremely rich.
Was it Aztec gold?
Well, it didn't go on to say exactly what kind of gold coin it was, but it was a chest full of gold coins. So it could have been Aztec gold. I mean, who has gold coins laying around an Irish village? The Irish had nothing but potatoes and dirt back in the days because that's where the huge famine was. They didn't have any riches. I mean, so for him to find it there, you know, somebody put it there, right? And somebody was protecting it or hiding the secret there. And then look what happened. So if it was cursed, maybe that's where it started from, 1842. Maybe there was a curse on that gold, and every single Kennedy from then has suffered from it. Because I tell you what, if you look at the Kennedy tragedies, man, it is it's hard to say that's all coincidence.
Agreed. So what are your take? And I'm sure you've heard of this because I've kind of half heard about it, but like dismissed it. The poltergeist curse. Why do I always want to put a T on the end? Curse.
The poltergeist.
Have you heard about this? The poltergeist curse.
Of the Kennedys?
No. No, this is completely different. We're off the Kennedys.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
Unless you have more.
No.
Okay. There's it's called the Poltergeist Curse, talking about the movie.
Yes.
And said one of the better horror flicks out there, the Poltergeist Curse, was pretty creepy. Four cast members of this horror franchise died in the 6 years between the first and third film. Real cadavers were used as props in various scenes.
Yes.
And the whole scene. That's what the curse is attributed to. Now, yes. That is what the curse is attributed to. Now, in 6 years, four people can die.
Yes.
I mean, that's not necessarily... But what I and this is what I half heard, was that they had used real bodies because they wanted the actors to actually be scared, you know, out of their gourds.
Correct.
when they were trying to act scared.
Correct. And I heard the same thing in the pool scene. According to everything that I had, and I did not look that one up tonight, but according to everything that I have researched in the past, the pool scene is, those were real cadavers in the pool at the end of the movie. When Coach was, you know, floating around in there, those were real cadavers that popped up out of those coffins, or at least the majority of them were. So disrespecting the dead like that, do I think that there possibly is like some sort of ramification for that? Absolutely.
Hmm. All right. Yeah, I don't really have anything more to add on that one. It's just really interesting to me that that they had done that. I mean, they could have started their own thing. I mean, hell, any one of those spirits or whatever, those bodies could have, you know, maybe they used the Native American one and didn't know, and somebody just came down and smacked him in the face.
Oh, right. Well, who, so, and what an idiot. I mean, who would use real dead bodies in a movie? Well, I mean, people freak out. I mean, people freak out today if you have a dog in a movie and you accidentally step on the dog's tail, that, you know, PETA would be online telling you that you can't go see the movie unless you're an animal beater, right? In this movie, they actually had dead bodies that they dug up and used in the movie.
Way to choose ratings over morality there, people.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, times have changed, so.
Have they? I watched Ghost Adventures today. I got through, I think, 25 minutes before I had to shut it off.
No, I can't talk to you about Ghost Adventures. That's your trigger object, so.
Well, it's not supposed to be a trigger there. Object.
That's your trigger. But, that's your trigger word. I'm not going there.
Yep. This is a happy place.
This is a happy place.
So, this one I have never heard of. You've never brought it up to me, so I don't know if you have either. And it is really, really interesting to me. So I'm just going to read this to you. It says, some things are too bizarre to explain, but can't go ignored either. By the way, when I continue to read this, I do not want anybody to actually try and call or anything. So just take the numbers and... forget about them after the show. Put a four in there and call Pizza Hut.
There you go.
So this one fits as an example. One doesn't really have cursed numbers until and unless it's the wretched salespeople who disturb you incessantly. But an exception here is the phone number 888-888-8888. This phone number has been the number of many people throughout the 2000s up until now. But every single person who has had the number has died.
Really?
Some owners died of cancer, while others were shot to death or died in a gunshot accident. And they're asking if 888 the new 666?
No.
But I could not... It was crazy. I never heard of this before.
I haven't either. Ever. I have not. This is totally virgin territory to me. I've never heard of this at all.
So what do you think of it? I mean, if it's true. Now, obviously, I could spend, you know, 17 hours in a day and research this one thing to find out if it's actually legit.
Correct.
But do you think that it's possible?
Well, I'm not going to say it's not, I guess, because, you know, numerologists will tell you that there's all kinds of numbers that, you know, carry different types of powers and stuff like that. So could it be feasible that this number has some sort of thing tied to it? Yes, I will say that it's possible. Do I believe in it? No.
You don't think that has anything to do with it?
No, I think that a lot of things in the world have possibilities. Do I think that, you know, do I think it's possible? Yes. Do I think that it's Do I think that if I started a small business and I managed to land the number, you know, with 14 eights in it, that all of a sudden I'm going to drop dead? No, I don't think so. I don't think I'd be scared of that, I guess.
I think that would be the easiest, one of the easiest phone numbers in the world to remember.
Well, hell yeah, it would be.
What's your phone number? Just hit eights until it rings.
Until it rings, right, yeah. I don't even have to give it to you. Just keep punching eight like a madman, and you'll connect.
Just make sure you don't hit four in the right place, because you'll get Pizza Hut.
Because you'll get Pizza Hut, right.
Yeah, 4888888. Pizza Hut delivery is really great. All right.
Are we getting paid by Pizza Hut this week and I was unaware of it or what?
No.
Oh, all right.
I am a Pizza Hut fan though.
Well, yeah. Well, we should be getting some sponsorship from Pizza Hut after that plug.
Or they might sue me for slander.
Well, I don't know how they're going to sue you for like telling them that you're a Pizza Hut fan and that you just gave their number out on our show.
Well, I meant singing their song and so atrociously.
Well, that's a
that's a stretch. All right, so two paranormal ones.
Yeah.
This one I really really like. If it's accurate. So there's a photo of a boy. It's called the painting is called The Crying Boy.
Okay.
And this painting is of a young boy. Was set on the walls of multiple homes throughout Europe. However, folks in many of the homes ended up being victims of fire and explosions. Even though the homes would be burned down to the ground, the Crying Boy painting was always found to be completely intact in the aftermath. What's even more bizarre about the supposed curse is the fact that the painter claimed that he had made the painting of a wandering orphan whose parents had died in a house fire.
Yeah, that's
it gets disturbing. Better. It gets that's even disturbing. Better.
Yeah.
Even a priest had warned the painter that each boy or each home the boy was led into was destroyed due to a fire one time or another. The painter didn't believe him and took the boy into a studio to paint him, but sure enough, the painter's studio caught fire as well and burned down, causing the painter to banish the orphan from his presence.
Hmm.
Now that's creepy.
That is creepy. And I'm telling you what, if I ever see the picture for sale, I'm not buying it.
Somebody would.
Well, I agree with you. I'm just telling you, I'm not buying it. But then you know the beauty part is? So is it for sale right now?
I have no idea.
Okay.
But they actually have a photo with it, and I don't know if it's staged or not. I don't think so, but it seriously, it's sitting there perfectly intact, sitting on the wall, and everywhere around it is nothing but ash and debris.
Well, so that's it's like disturbing. That's almost like spontaneous human combustion type of thing that we did a show earlier about too. You know, where one person burns to death, right? I mean, so it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird that something like that would happen, and that painting would remain intact. So to me, that says that painting itself is haunted in some way, shape, or form.
More than likely,
probably not by a friendly spirit.
No, I would hope not. If the friendly spirit is the one that's burning all their houses down, I would hate to see what the evil one would do.
Right, that's what I mean. So I'm kind of saying I'm not following the whole like, oh yeah, this is a friendly spirit. Don't worry about it; everything's fine. Put this in your house, and you know you'll burn to death. No.
I'll bet you if you put it on eBay. And asked like $100,000 that a haunted painting will burn your house down, somebody would still buy it.
Absolutely. So if somebody sees it for sale, Mike and I might be interested in buying it because that something like that would fund our trip that we've talked about on every show now. So we got to make sure we keep that going. So that would fund our trip like around the U.S. for haunted locations, because if we made $100,000, we could travel easily for a whole year. And spend like a week at every location we really want to go to. And then we could have just like an amazing television show.
Yes. Yes, we could.
We could. I know. But I knew you'd be in agreement with that.
We would have to buy it first.
Well, right. That's what I'm saying. We'll pay $1, and then we'll sell it for Well, right, because who's going to want to buy it if it goes to an auction where every person who's owned it has died?
Somebody would. So would we hold it? Or not hold it? But, I mean, would we hold the information from people?
Yes.
Okay, so we wouldn't tell them that their house is going to burn down if they get this painting. Okay. All right. Good salesmanship, Dave.
Hey, it's not my responsibility to make sure that you're educated on everything going on in your life.
But if you're introducing something into my life, I would hope that you would tell me what you are introducing.
It's a great picture of a young boy.
Yes, it looked great in your bedroom.
It'll look great above your mantle in your grand parlor, above your grand fireplace.
Yeah, right next to the deer antlers, probably not.
Well, you know. I'm working out.
Okay. So I have, hold on. It's time to go to break. All right. A half hour done. All right. So it's 6:31 now that I've set my clocks properly for the first time in like a year.
Nice.
Yes, thank you. I was feeling very efficient today. So we're going to go to break real quick, and then we'll be back with more examples and more discussion of curses from around the world. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Author James Hershey Jr. from the Staring into the Abyss radio show. Check out the book that started it all. What critics called the scariest book of the year. I am Legion. And if you're still breathing, check out the other two books in the series. The Surrogate of Souls and The Rise of the Revenant. These books will scare the hell out of you. That, I promise.
Hi, this is Master Tarot Card Reader Ken Bogle, and I highly encourage you to tune in every Monday night to the Para-X Radio Network for the Para-Cave, hosted by Matt Gesso, as he goes in search of the truth in the supernatural, metaphysical, mystic, and paranormal. Monday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, only on the Para-X Radio Network. I never miss it, and neither should you.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
All right.
And we're back. I hope you enjoyed those commercials. For the first time, I did not hear them in my ear, so I'm sure they were okay. So Dave has some that he would like to, some examples of curses, probably far more detailed than mine, of examples. So have at it, Dave. Let's right. Discuss this further.
Okay, so curses. So Mike was talking about curses. I'm going to throw the Kennedys is a great one. So obviously conspiracy theorists are all over that. People who believe in curses are all over that. Something obviously is going on with the Kennedys. All right. Along those same lines is the curse of the dragon. And just by the title of that, you can probably imagine who I'm going to talk about next. But that would be Bruce Lee. All right. So Bruce Lee and his son Brandon Lee both died young, and kind of under mysterious circumstances.
Yes.
So from the information that I found, there is a curse that was put against the Lee family by one of two people and or a double entity, which was the Chinese mafia and Kung Fu masters. Okay. They put a curse against the Lee family saying that Bruce Lee and that his son were going to die at an early age through a family curse that was placed against Lee Po Chun, which is Bruce Lee's father. So according to the story, one day Lee Ho Chun angered a group of Chinese merchants. They placed a curse on him, saying that all the males in his family would die young. True or not, the elder Lee and his wife took this curse very seriously after the death of their firstborn son, who would have been Bruce's older brother. They constantly addressed Bruce with the feminine name Sai Fan, meaning small phoenix, at home in order to confuse the evil spirits. The so-called curse theory eventually gained even more steam after the movie Dragon, the Bruce Lee story, came out, which depicted a Bruce Lee lookalike fighting a physical manifestation of the demon who haunted the family. The movie itself was released a mere 2 months after Brandon's own death, which, if anybody knows about the Bruce Lee conspiracy, that Brandon Lee was killed by a shot on the movie The Crow, which was a blank in a .44 revolver.
And should have been a blank in a .44 revolver.
Huh?
It should have been a blank.
No, it was. It was a blank. Right, yes, really? It was. Yes, all of the bullets that were in the gun were blanks. But somehow there was a wad of cotton in front of one of the shot that was fired, and the explosion from the .44 Magnum casing took that wad of cotton and shot it so fast out of the barrel at such a close range that it penetrated his chest and went into his heart and killed him.
Which was sad. I really like Brandon Lee.
I really love the movie The Crow. If you've never seen it, you have to see it. It has a phenomenal soundtrack, and it's an absolutely great movie.
Not only that, but what was the one with Dolph Lundgren that he did right before The Crow?
Oh, well, you got me on that one.
It's Showdown in Little Tokyo or Big Trouble in Little Chinatown. It's one of those two. One is Kurt Russell, the other is Dolph Lundgren and Brandon Lee.
Yeah, Showdown in Little China was Kurt Russell.
Showdown in Little Tokyo?
Little Chinatown, I think that's Kurt Russell.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Because that's the one where it had the dude that Kurt Russell had to fight with the Fu Manchu that was about 8 feet long.
Yeah. That guy was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I was a fan of Bruce. In fact, I didn't even know that the Crow was Bruce, or not Bruce Lee, Brandon Lee.
Brandon Lee, yes.
Yeah, I did not even know it. I just heard about his death, and I heard it was on a set, and I did not know that that was it. Sad.
Right. Just kind of crazy, right?
It is. Thank you, CC. Yeah.
Right, so the other one that I have, okay, and then we'll jump back to yours, is it's called the Habsburg Curse, okay? So the Habsburgs were a very influential family, very powerful, very influential in Europe. The curse that afflicted their family, and this is the interesting part, literally came from the birds, not from another human being, but from actual birds. They were ravens. So according to lore, the curse started the moment their ancestors slaughtered all the ravens that resided in the home castle. After that, the supernatural ravens called Turnfalken started to appear before or during the demise of family members, including, and the reason that I brought this one up, Marie Antoinette's execution.
That was actually one of the curse things that I had read today that I skipped over was The Curse of the Hope Diamond.
There you go. Another great one. Absolutely. They say if you touch the Hope Diamond, you're a dead man. Everybody who's ever touched the Hope Diamond died.
Yeah, and it's now on display here in America.
Well, it is, and I believe it's in Chicago. It has been. Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's the real one, but I remember as a kid on a field trip living there, we went to Chicago and actually saw the Hope Diamond at the Science of the Field Museum, I believe it's at. It's either at the Field Museum or the Museum of Science and Industry, one of the two. But I believe it's at the Field Museum. And it's actually in a case in Chicago where you can go see the Hope Diamond, and it's absolutely it's awe-inspiring. It's huge. But it's also – I wouldn't touch it.
But that was the number one. It said it passed to the hands of King Louis VII, or King Louis VI of France, where it was worn by Princess de Lamballe and Marie Antoinette, who were both later beheaded along with Louis. They said even the jewelers who kept the diamond in their shop died in mysterious deaths.
Yep.
The diamond is currently on display in the United States.
Yep, and the guy who cut the diamond died. The guy who actually was the person who cut that diamond died. And everybody in his family, like his whole lineage, I believe, died. Like everybody. Which is crazy.
Wow. Yeah, no, absolutely. Were those your two?
Well, I've got about eight, but I'm just saying,
continue.
Okay, so
no, I like these. I like talking about curses. I don't know why, but okay. We got 20 minutes. Let's continue.
Okay, great. So another curse that I found very interesting was the Guinness family curse, aka Guinness Stout.
Is that like Guinness beer?
Yes.
Type thing.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Guinness Stout. So one of Ireland's most accomplished clans and famous brewers of the Guinness beer brand have had their share of bad luck throughout history. Granted, such a large family is bound to be in trouble from time to time in accordance with the law of averages, but with the Guinnesses, those misfortunes look like something out of a Final Destination plot. Arthur Guinness, the patriarch and founder of the brewery, lost 10 of his 21 offspring while building his empire. After his death, other family members either became poor, insane, or alcoholics. Now, I know you can't throw the alcoholic thing in there just because it's Guinness Stout, but it was during the Second World War that talk of the Guinness curse really took off. Two prominent family members were killed, one by Jewish terrorists and one during a battle just weeks before the war ended. In the aftermath of the war, a series of deaths ranging from suicides, car crashes, and freak accidents, such as one family member hit her head on the toilet seat and drowned in the bathtub while in the middle of a drug session, gave further credence to the curse. Even animals were not spared from this curse, as one of Ireland's most famous racehorses, the owner's mother was a Guinness descendant, was abducted by the Irish Republican Army and beheaded. So how about that? So next time you're drinking a Guinness Stout, think about the poor Guinness family that had nothing but tragedy bestow them after something happened to them way long ago.
I took more away from that than this, but did you say he had 21 offspring?
Yes, he did. He lost 10 of his offspring. He had 21 offspring while building his empire.
By so offspring,
very active in the bedroom. Yes.
I don't even know how to respond. That's a lot of kids.
I feel sorry for his wife because 21 births is, I don't know what the record is, but I'm telling you what, 21 is up there.
Well, if that were done in this day and age, he would have his own reality show.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. He'd be famous. He'd be famous on a reality TV channel. Absolutely.
Wow. 21 offspring. I can't even imagine. must have started young. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, well, hopefully not at like age 60.
Hey, if at age 60 I have enough stamina to do 21 kids, you might as well just call me God, okay?
Well,
I am Zeus reincarnate.
There you go.
So that's all I got to say. Wow, 20. Yeah, I'm still not over that. But but yeah, I agree with you on raise a glass and do a toast to the suffering that this family went through in order to get you that beer.
Exactly. And that's, you know, that is, and I don't know, you know, and as the internet itself is, right, I don't know that people don't look at famous entities and then say, let's trace their whole entire lineage and see what we can find. And then they put together these bits and pieces and make this semi-plausible story about what's happening. But in the case, like in the case of the Guinness family, in the case of, Marie Antoinette's family, in the case of the Kennedys, obviously, in the case of Jackie O, the Onassis family, don't forget, is also said to be cursed. So there's a whole lot of misery that's happened in that family, too. So, you know, are they just making things, are they just finding things to make stories? Or are those facts legitimately pointing to the fact that, you know, something happened, such as taking that gold out of that Irish village? I mean, was that some sort of like, don't take this or you're going to suffer? And he took it anyway, and he became extremely wealthy, but every single generation has suffered miserably since then.
Yeah, maybe somebody in ancient times or 100 years ago had an ovulus.
Well, maybe.
And so, you know, this thing said death, and they made up all kinds of stories about why it was coming up with these words, because that's what people do.
They do, but I'm gonna tell you, we've used the ovulus, and Steve and Tanner, if you're listening, you guys are really good at following the ovulus, okay? But you're not even in the league of like the Kennedy family curse, if that's what it was from an ovulus 100 years ago. You got some work to do, guys.
No, they don't. Or they have to do it in 10-minute spurts. That's it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not allowing. I'm sorry for everybody that's listening, but I hate the ovulus. I don't even know why I bought it, but I did because I thought I'd be cool, and I was way, way wrong.
And Mike and I are talking specifically about the last investigation, or one of the last investigations we were on, just to prove a point to the young rookie investigators,
FNGs, man, FNGs,
right, that they were, we had spoke about it to them, and their comment basically was, well, who would be stupid enough to like get wrapped up like that? You know, that would never happen to me. So I said in our second session, well, let's grab the ovulus and take it around and see what happens. And about 45 minutes later, I was like, okay, turn that baby off, because I had heard enough.
Yes. Yeah. I had too.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you heard it four times.
Yeah. Yeah. See, thanks to them having four recorders all going at the same time, I had to do the evidence through the audio review. I had to listen to the conversation four different times.
Well, there you go.
That was great. So that in and of itself is a curse.
That was a curse. I agree with you.
That was the
curse of the ovulus onto Michael O'Neill.
Maybe I am cursed.
Well, here, speaking of that, let's talk about your curse, okay? Because we got 10 minutes left here, so let's get off of the, you know, the history of curses, and demonic, you know, black magic type of stuff. So let's get into your curse and let's talk about that a little bit. So go ahead and tell everybody about your curse.
So like I said, this one particular person, who I will try to remain nameless, because I'm told not to talk about her, was upset with me. And she, physical medium, you know, well into the pagan arts, the metaphysical world, she knew her stuff when it came to the occult. But had chosen to do everything for good. You know, I don't think this really applies, but like white witch would be, a term I probably could use loosely, as talking about her intent. Yeah. So part of my team, and she got upset with me and, left the team, and we did an investigation shortly after she left, and at least one, if not two of my investigators, were attacked or felt they were attacked at this investigation, and that one of them came home with an attachment from it. She sought out help from, friends of hers that were very, very huge into the metaphysical world to try to find out what was going on. And according to them, this person had cursed me, and like the intent of the curse was to stop me and anyone that wanted to investigate with me from investigating. I have no idea how, but I will say this. We had that night, we had a lot of equipment failures. It took us forever to finally set up. We had things that did not work properly. It's possible it was taking root. It was removed, obviously, by these people who were friends of her, but I was told that this person had used her knowledge and abilities in order to put this curse on me to stop me from investigating and anybody that would be investigating with me. So I didn't think much about it. I never felt any change. I had other cases I did, you know, after that. So then she had stuff in my garage and she came over to grab it. I would not let her in the house. I was told quite specifically, do not let her in the house because it might come back. Did not talk to her, did not see her. And I went out after she left. And she had left a box, this really rusty, decrepit looking like shelf thing, and her baby stroller because she had, you know, her kids were old enough. So I was like, all right, well, whatever. Picked up the box, opened it, just, you know, because there's something in it. Found, like, table napkin or whatever, those placemats. Like, table-type stuff and old wash towels. And a dead bird in this box. Threw the dead bird away. Or threw the whole box away, actually. But, so, after that, I was talking with the friend of my investigators that helped get rid of the first one, and he looked into it. I told him what had happened. He came back to me and he was like, I don't know if you're ready to hear what I have to say. And I'm like, well, why wouldn't I be? Let's do this. And he told me that subconsciously I was depressed and like moving towards suicide. And I'm like, no, that has no. I'm like, that's not even possible. I like don't feel it at all. I'm always laughing. I'm always happy. You're completely wrong about this. He's like, well, I meant, you know, I said subconsciously. I'm like, no, I don't even care if it's subconsciously or not. You're not even close. About 4 hours after that conversation, he came back to me and he goes, no, you're right. He's like, it's not you. Somebody put a curse on you, and that was supposed to bring me to that that goal of me becoming depressed and driving me to suicide. So, same person, too. I do not know what to make of that. He said that he took it off again. Have not seen this person since, hoping that they've moved on to better things or not. I've not seen or talked to this person since. So, but it amazes me sometimes. And you call them coincidence, Dave, and this is what I meant earlier by maybe you have felt the effects of it. Because I've said this to you before, but there have been, like that one case in particular, the Cresco Opera House, where everybody was really, really excited to go. And then on, like, I think it was Thursday, you hurt yourself. Right before the investigation, you hurt yourself in your back and could not go, was on bed rest for 3 days, still suffering from that now. And then that Friday, the other investigator that was going with us, he is next on Parex, Mr. Matt Gesso, suffered a heart attack and obviously could not go. So, I mean, it's sometimes it amazes me the bad luck that people get, but it's so spread out that, you know, I got to chalk it up to coincidence.
So I'm with you on that. That is coincidence. You know, the fact that I got hurt at work, and I was doing great up until that point, you know, and then it was just kind of a freak thing at work. It had nothing to do with me going to Cresco, because I went to Cresco after that. You know, yep. Obviously we all three of us did, you know, the three that you're talking about. We obviously went down there and we had a great outpouring. We had a great experience that weekend. I mean, literally all three of us had a great time and we filled the house. I mean, yes, you know, did. I mean, anybody who was there prior to us or during that weekend, if they got 20 people in there, they were excited. I will kid you not, and I'm not bragging or patting ourselves on the back, but I'm telling you what, both sessions that we did, we probably had at least 100 people in the audience. Yeah. And there were people coming up to us afterwards wanting to talk to us about all kinds of different things that were going on in their lives or things that had happened in our lives or things that were happening you know, during our investigations. And you know, we had even people coming in saying, when was our next show? You know, what was our next episode time going to be? And we had to turn people away and tell them, hey, you know, we had two today and you missed it. And regretfully, Cresco's a long drive, so we had to jump back in the car and come back to the Twin Cities. So I will say this about that. I think she tried hard. I do believe that. I do believe that she had some ability. And I think that, and I know the person you're talking about, and I never liked her. I didn't like her because she had a, there was something about her I didn't like. I felt
it was a bad aura.
Huh?
It was a bad aura.
She had a bad aura. Yeah, she did. I told you that the first time I met her. You remember that?
I know.
And I said, there's something about her I don't like. And that was at your townhouse, actually. Yep. And, you know, do I think that she had some ability? Yeah, she probably did. And did she try to affect you in such a way that it would cause harm to you after you were gracious enough to provide her with something she really needed in her life at that time? Yeah, I do believe that she was petty enough to do that. And I believe that she had some junior level ability to do that. Do I think it still exists? Absolutely not. I think that, as I always believe, I believe that God overpowers anything that is negative. And so whatever realm she went to, and I'm not saying she went to some sort of dark thing like the devil or a demon or anything like that, but she went somewhere. Because you have to give something to get something in the world of spellcasting. So she went somewhere and made some sort of promise or sacrifice to put something against you, and we have overcome that. And You know, I think it sucked that you suffered that, but I'm telling you what, Matt and I will both tell you that there's no way in hell that either one of us are sorry that we did the investigation, or that we went to Cresco, or that we're still together doing cases together. I think that she tried, and I think she failed miserably, and I think that that is just a true sign that good is always going to outweigh evil.
Agreed. And on that note, that wraps it up for tonight. So I think that's a perfect place to stop.
Absolutely.
Coming up now is the man who absolutely is tailgating you, Mr. Matt Gesso, with the Paracave Radio. So that does it for Dave and I for tonight. Everybody have a good evening.